This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a beautiful day it is to be gathered together in this time of worship. And it's my joy to welcome you into this time together. Whether you're joining us online or here in the sanctuary, the Spirit of Christ connects us as we worship together today. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are visiting with us for the first time. We're so glad that you're here and hope that you feel the presence and love of Christ in this place. I would invite you and everyone who is present in this moment to take this time to register your attendance and let us know that you're here. There's a registration pad at the end of each row here in the sanctuary, and there's a link in the chat you can place in your browser to register online. If you are perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, we hope you'll share an email address or mailing address, phone number with us, and let us reach out to you and begin that conversation together. If you are a student, college student, or graduate student, we invite you to join Reverend Amy Baxter after this service for free lunch. The group will gather at the back in what we call the narthex and walk to lunch somewhere close by, and that it is on church's treat. So we hope that you'll have a chance for that fellowship. Speaking of college students, there's a blurb in your bulletin I want to draw your attention to. We're collecting gift cards for our students to help give them a little extra support during this time of exams. So there are more details in the bulletin about how you can help with that. Today in worship, this is the day when we are offering our estimates of giving. For those of you who are church members, you've received an estimate of giving card in the mail a couple of weeks ago. Hope you've had time to pray about that. And if you've brought those cards with you, you can place them in the offering plates as they go by today as we make our plans and dreams for what God can do in our midst in 2024. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we'll have our final large group Bible study gathering. As we've been journeying through the Bible this year, we're coming to the end, and Dr. Jen Quigley will be with us to talk about from Romans to Revelation. It's a potluck dinner. The church is providing turkey and dressing. We'd love for you to bring a side dish and join us for that final celebration. Next Sunday, we're asking all of you, as you feel led and nudged by the Spirit, to invite someone to church next week. If there's someone, a neighbor, a friend, a colleague who might be interested in finding a church home, let this be a Sunday that you make that invitation to them. Hopefully you've seen the beautiful video that we shared with you this week, and that's another opportunity to help people understand and know what God is doing here at West End. So next week, wear your name tags if you're coming in person and you have a name tag if you're a church member. We want everybody to be able to call one another by name, so we hope you will remember to do that. Next Sunday at 2 o'clock, our friends and neighbors at Gordon Memorial United Methodist Church have invited us and a few other congregations to share in a community service of worship in preparation for Thanksgiving around the theme of beloved community. And it's going to be a wonderful service. There are details in the bulletin, and hope that many of you can participate in that. Finally, just looking ahead, Advent's around the corner. The first big event is the wreath-making workshop on Sunday, December 3rd, and that will be at 4 o'clock. No RSVP needed, but I wanted you to go ahead and get it on your calendars. Okay, we're rounding the corner of the scriptures, and this morning we are in the letter of James, a simple but instructive letter for all of us who seek to follow Christ. So let us open this book together and open ourselves to what the Spirit has to show us this day.
Thank you. join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. As we gather for worship this day, help us to remember, every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Creator of the stars and the universe is present in this place today. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Draw us into the word of truth and set our feet on the path of righteousness. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Gracious God, we come before you today as a people in need of your grace. When the voices of the world overwhelm us, give us ears that are quick to listen to your call to be still. When we default to lashing out, help us to be slow to speak. When anxiety and fear set in, give us hearts that are slow to anger. Transform our hearts and lives by the hearing of your word as a call to care for one another with acts of justice and mercy. May we be a people who bears the fruit of your spirit at work in us and extends your love into the world. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Bree and Josh Cumby bring their daughter before God and the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Bree and Josh, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith as you bring your daughter before us for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, your Spirit swept across dark waters and brought forth glorious light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you had promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and to clothe her in righteousness throughout all her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she might share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, my
friend. Okay. Come see me.
And what name have you given your beautiful daughter?
Cecilia Charlene.
Cecilia Charlene Cumby. I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live within you all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
And now I'm going to ask Mom and Dad and Pastor Will to place hands on you, and together we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Cecilia Charlene, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Miss Cecilia, you want to go for a little walk? I hope you all saw from the choir how much she was listening to your anthem. She was enraptured. I think we may have a future soprano or alto on our hands. And now, Miss Cecilia, we're going to take a little walk so you can see the faces of your newest family members. This is your church family. And they already love you, you know that? Just like God already loves you. And they are going to make a promise in just a minute to do everything they can to help you learn how much God loves you, to help you learn about Jesus and the stories of the Bible and the songs of the faith. They're going to teach you Sunday school, and one of them might be a confirmation mentor. I can see them right now. They're ready to volunteer. So let's listen as they make their promises to you.
Will the congregation please rise and open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome and face Cecilia Charlene. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Cecilia Charlene to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Cecilia Charlene, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the New Testament, James 1:17-27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness that implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word, and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law of liberty, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite all the grown-ups to be seated, and any children who want to come up here and join me for a minute, please do. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Hello, hello, good morning. Good to see you this morning. Everybody's wearing their sweaters because it's gotten colder. I love the fall. I love the cooler weather. Well, welcome, everybody. I'm so glad to see you. And I'm excited that my friend, Pastor Will, is back because I know he's been on a trip. And so I just want to hear about your trip. Will you tell me a little bit about where you went last weekend?
Yeah, I so missed you all in church
last weekend, but I went to Houston, Texas.
You went to Houston, Texas? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I've never been to Houston. I've always wanted to go to Houston. I've heard it's really big and, you know, really interesting, fun things to see. And I just wish I could have gone, too.
Anyway. It was awesome.
Yeah,
and
good.
The best part is I was going to see somebody. I was going to see one of my friends who I've been friends with for almost 20 years.
Wow, that's a long time. But you know what? I'm a lot older than Will, and I've had friends for even longer than that. I have friends I've been friends with for like 45 years. Can you believe that? Maybe even 50. That's a long time. So anyway.
You're young at heart, though.
I am young at heart.
I was going because guess what my friend was doing? Guess what? He was getting married.
It was a wedding. Oh,
yeah,
I love weddings so
wedding.
Much. You know, I love going to weddings. I went to a wedding not too long ago, and I couldn't believe the colors of the flowers. They were just beautiful. It was really great. And do you know what? I'm not being a very good listener, am I?
And there was a wedding here one time.
Yes. You were the wedding girls. That's exciting. Well, you know, I had said to Will I wanted to hear about his weekend, and then I didn't listen. When he started talking, I started talking, and I was more interested in what I was going to say instead of listening. And, you know, one way that we can be a really good friend is to listen, just to hold our mouth still for a little while and just listen to what somebody wants to tell us. Someone said that to listen is a way of showing love. So one of the things I'm going to try to do, and I would encourage you and all of us to do this week, is to practice being a good listener. So if maybe your teacher's talking or a friend is talking to you and you feel like you want to say something, take a minute and take a breath and say, no, I'm going to listen first. And that's something we can do to show our love for each other. Let's pray together. Gracious God, it's amazing to us that you listen to us when we pray. You love us so much that you want to hear from our hearts when we pray. Thank you for listening. Help us to listen for you too, and help us to show our love for other people by being good listeners. You gave us two ears and only one mouth. Maybe we should practice listening a little more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for listening so well. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds get to go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie, and the rest of us can go back to sitting with family or friends. Well, I did something this week that I haven't done in a long time. I posted something on Facebook. It's been a long time since I've done that. And I posted twice this week, so maybe it's a new trend. But there's a reason that I stopped posting things on Facebook a while back. I had posted something, I can't remember what it was. It wasn't particularly controversial or partisan in any way, but somehow there were people on my comment stream who got into an argument with each other. People from two different parts of my life who didn't know each other, and they were getting angry, and all of these words were being exchanged, so I just took the post down. I didn't want to see that kind of anger and argument between two people that I cared about who couldn't really be in relationship with each other in person. I don't know about you, but I have found social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever Twitter's called now, to be a place where this aspect of our human nature comes out. People seem quick to get angry and very quick to speak, like we got to just post a comment right away, and very slow to listen. I don't know anyone who has said, you know, I used to think that, but I changed my mind ever since I read this one comment on Facebook. No one ever said ever. But we see it happening a lot in our social media. But I don't think it's a new problem. In fact, I think it's been part of our human nature from the very beginning. It's at least 2,000 years old. Because it's something that James addressed to the church in his letter that we've heard from this morning. The letter of James, it's coming in toward the end of the scriptures. We're rounding the corner, the last lap of our journey through the Bible that we started in January. This little bitty practical letter. We're not totally sure who wrote it. But Christian tradition tells us that it was James, the brother of Jesus. And there are some ways in which this little letter sounds like Jesus. In fact, when I was in divinity school at the end of my New Testament class, I had to write an essay on the exam about comparing the Sermon on the Mount with the book of James, both of which are giving instructions about how to live out this life of faith, how to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. And if you read the book of James, he's covering all sorts of topics, going from this to this to this to this. But this morning, this week, as I read this text and really pondered what the word was for me and for us today, I was drawn to verses 19 and 20. These two quick verses that contain multitudes. Let everyone, says James, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. So I want to do a deep dive into these very simple teachings of James. They're simple. But they're challenging. And there's something about these teachings that get at the very heart of what it means to follow Jesus. There's something about these teachings that really get to meddling with our daily lives. So let's dive in. What I'd like to do is take them backwards, however. I want to start with anger. Be slow to anger, says James, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Anger is a real thing. It's a human emotion. We all experience anger. Anger in and of itself is not bad. It just is. What James is getting at and what Jesus talks about is what we do with our anger. There are all sorts of things that make me angry over the course of a day or a week. Sometimes it's trivial. It's the street being blocked off once again, and I'm going to be late for work, or the paper getting caught in the copier. And what I'm invited to do, I think, in those moments is to examine my anger. Why is this making me angry? Is it because I'm running late again? Is it because there are other things in my life that have piled up and made me anxious and I'm getting reactive to these little things? But sometimes it's big things that make me angry. It's injustice I see in the world. It's frustration with so many of our leaders who aren't leading us right now that makes me angry. And there's something every day that I can read in the news that makes me angry. But what do I do with that anger? James says your anger alone does not produce God's righteousness. Sometimes I think we convince ourselves that, oh, I get angry about this issue, and so I'm going to post about it on Facebook, and then I'm done. Then I've done what I can do. Does that really help bring about God's justice in the world or God's kingdom in the world? What might James be inviting us to do? Well, as I pondered and prayed over this question, I felt something come into my heart. Anger without prayer is reactionary. Anger without love can do great harm. Anger without hope becomes bitter. And anger without joy cannot make a difference in the world. I think God calls us to recognize and see our anger and then to bring it to God in prayer, seeking God's wisdom with what's at the root of this anger? Am I being called to action? Am I being called to speak? And patiently waiting for discernment. I think God calls us to look at our anger through the lens of love so that we don't demonize whoever it is that has made us angry, so that we always keep the big picture of God's kingdom in our mind and in our hearts. I think God calls us to hold our anger with hope. Yes, we may be angry at the things that are happening in our world, but we continue to trust that God is at work and moving us ever closer to God's kingdom. And one thing I've learned from people I've known and people I've read and followed who have been involved in the struggle for justice and the struggle to make this world more like the kingdom of God is this. You cannot change the world and sustain that work without joy. So we must find ways to cultivate joy even as we do the hard work that God calls us to do. So we get angry, but we bring that anger to God and allow God to give us wisdom on how to act. For our anger alone will never produce God's righteousness. The second thing James says is be slow to speak. That's not the going wisdom in our day, I don't think. Be quick to speak. We got to have something to say about everything. We got to make a statement, post it up there. We got to know what we think about everything. Or when we're in a conversation or even an argument with someone, we want to get what we think out there. We want to say our piece. To hold back, to not say anything, well, maybe that's a sign of weakness, or maybe that gives a signal that we agree with whatever the person has said. Do you feel that pressure in your life? Always to have something to say? It affects us in every aspect of our lives, in our personal relationships. We find ourselves saying things sometimes in a discussion or an argument that we can't take back. We want to fire off that email when we get angry and hit send and we can't take it back. Or we say something publicly, speaking into a situation that we don't fully understand and we want to take it back and we can't. James spends a lot of time toward the end of his letter talking about the dangers of the tongue, the harm that our speech can do when we haven't filtered it through prayer and love and wisdom and hope and joy. Be slow to speak, he says. I wonder if the next time we're in a conversation or we're tempted to send that email, if we just held our tongue and gave it some time, or if we just didn't hit send yet, what God might do in our hearts and in the situation if we just didn't speak so quickly. I can think of many times when I've had people come to me and say, I have this friend who's just lost their parent, and I don't know what to say. Or I have a friend who's received this terrible diagnosis, and I really care about him, but I don't know what to say. I think it's more important to show up and not say anything. A few months ago, Soren Hessler preached on the book of Job. Some of you who read through the Bible this year read the book of Job. When all of these horrible things happen to Job, he has three friends who come and sit with him in silence for 7 days. And it's a beautiful witness to presence. But then they start talking. And they talk, and they talk, and they talk. And they're trying to explain why this happened to Job to make sure it fits into their theology and their understanding of God, because they're so uncomfortable with the idea that Job would be suffering this way if it weren't somehow his fault. And I think that's part of what we do sometimes. We speak because we want to put things in a box. We want to control a situation. We want to manage it. instead of just being silent and letting it be the mystery that it is. So James recognizes that sometimes in the church, in the Christian community, we speak too fast. And so he encourages those members of the church to be slow to speak, because you don't know what harm you might do if you speak too fast. And finally, the direction we're going through these verses, he says, be quick to listen. I don't know about you, but I don't run into many people in our world today who are quick to listen. I don't know that many people value the practice of listening as deeply as it needs to be valued, especially in Christian community. What does it mean genuinely to listen to another person? I think it means creating space for them to be who they are, to speak their truth, to tell their story, to share their experience and their perspective, and to hold back and not comment, not judge, not try to fix, not try to correct. Not assume that just because I'm listening to you means that I agree with everything you're saying, but just to create the space for them to be heard. It is amazing how powerfully healing it can be for someone just to be heard. Someone has said that listening is the highest form of love. Just letting someone be who they are. My friends, I think that's how God loves us, receiving us as we are, allowing us to be who we are and express our true selves to God. And somehow in that listening space, the Spirit works and moves and brings to light things that might help us learn. I don't know why it's so hard for us to listen. I think one of the challenges is we think that if we let go of what we know and what we're going to say enough to listen to someone else, we might have to change. We might have to have our perspectives shifted. And so we don't want to change. We just want to have our set answers. And we don't want to make room for something else or something different. But my friends, the wisdom of James comes to us 2,000 years later, inviting us as people of faith to be people first who listen to one another, who listen to others in our community with very different stories and experiences, and who listen to God. And James says, let everyone be quick to listen. This practice of listening is something each and every one of us, whether you're 3 years old or 93 years old, can and must practice. And it's everywhere all the time in our daily lives. Like I said, James is meddling a little bit. So there's an invitation here. Every day, today, tomorrow, when you have an opportunity to listen to someone, if you notice anger, if you notice you want to say something and speak up or post something, step back and take a deep breath and take it slow. So to help us prepare for that practice, I want us to spend 1 minute in silent listening, to practice a form of prayer that is a form of listening, allowing space for God to move. So I'm going to lead us in 1 minute of silence and close us in prayer and see if we can just lean into the silence together. Let us listen with one another to God. Gracious God, even 1 minute of silence feels foreign to us in this busy and noisy world we live in. In the silence, we feel vulnerable, not quite in control, cracked open. Lead us into silence. Help us grow more comfortable in the silence. Give us the wisdom to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. May we make room every day for your Spirit to do your work, trusting that even when we are silent, you are working. In the name of Christ, whom we seek to follow, we pray. Amen.
Friends, in response to the word of God proclaimed in this moment, I invite you to stand as together we recite the affirmation of our faith, which is printed in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life and death, and life beyond death. God is with us, not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, I invite you to be seated. One of the ways that we continue to become a people who hear God's fresh voice and listen is through the practice of praying with and for one another. You'll see the prayer cards in the pew right in front of you, and if you have a prayer concern that you would like to lift up to our pastoral team, that we might be praying with and for you throughout this week, please leave that prayer card in the offering basket. You can also follow the instructions at the appropriate tab online to leave a prayer for those of you who are worshiping with us online. Our lives on earth are in constant transition, and so we praise God this morning for a beautiful baby born this last week. Angel Victor Burgos Perez Whalen was born to Eva Whalen and Angel Burgos Perez on November 4th. His grandmother is West End member and current ministry table chair, Kathy Whalen. Even as we celebrate, we also mourn with our church family as the widow of deceased member Hyman Bowers, Jeannie W. Bowers, passed away on Sunday, November 5th. A private interment service will be held at West End on November 26th. We also are mourning with Brant and Joel Phillips and their family as they mourn the death of Bryant's mother, Deanne Gwen Phillips, who passed away on November 6th. A memorial service took place yesterday at West End. Tomorrow, a celebration of life service for Linda Bell Sims, who passed away on October 30th, will be held here in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. This afternoon from 4:30 to 6 p.m., we will have a visitation, as well as tomorrow morning from 9:30 to 11 a.m., both of those visitations taking place in Reed Hall. Additionally, a memorial service for Carol Ann McSweeney will be held on Saturday, November 18th at 4 p.m., with a visitation preceding the service beginning at 3 p.m. in Reed Hall. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Speaking God, your voice rings through the words of prophets, the stillness of silence, and the chorus of all creation singing your praise. We ask this day that your Spirit would continue your gracious work of forming us into a people with ears to hear and heed your call on our lives. Amidst noise and distraction and the tyranny of the urgent, ground us in your patience that we might discern your will, especially when your voice is slow to be understood or seemingly too simple in its direction. When it seems that you are silent in response to our cries for help, help us to hear your promise of deliverance and the assurances of your grace through the loving wisdom of the saints and the encouragement of friends and holy community. Bend our ears to the wisdom of those who do not regularly get the microphone, single parents struggling to survive, the incarcerated and working poor living with their backs against the wall, those who are otherly abled, either physically or intellectually. Humble us that we might listen and learn from peoples of other faiths, and so continue to discover the depths of your love and the goodness of your character. Finally, may your Spirit enliven our study of Scripture, our practices of worship, and our experience in the means of grace, that as we gather in the name of your Son, we might know his fresh voice calling out to us, saying, "Follow me." All of this we ask as together we pray as Christ is teaching us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we now approach this time of offering, we recognize that our giving is in response to the God who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And especially in this season of our church's life, we celebrate the vision that God has given us for our continued ministry here at West End in our parish of Nashville and throughout the world. If you are a regular member of our congregation, or if you are a visitor who has given in the past, you will have received in the last month that estimated giving card as part of our faithful giving campaign. This Sunday is the Sunday when we are asking you, if you have clarity about your estimate for 2024, to leave that card in the offering basket. Friends, this day might we give generously in response to the God who always provides abundantly far more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine. Amen.
Maybe James should have said, be quick to listen, quick to sing, slow to speak and slow to anger. We are moving ever forward toward God's beloved community, created even here and even now. What more might God do with us if we committed ourselves to be good and loving listeners? Let us go from this place to be who God calls us to be. Amen.